Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name's Nancy C. I'm your moderator today. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Today is Tuesday, March 18th, and today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 84 with the one paragraph, "Are These Extravagant Promises?" And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. And today's readers are, and thank everyone for their service. On the 12 steps is Joni C. Chris W. is on the traditions. Reader of the text today is Susan S. H. Rena L. is on page 164. And our backup is Lynn W. And our newcomer greeter is Vanita L. And our host for the second hour is Leah S. Thanks everyone for their services. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, March 7th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 22,258. That's 22258. And for the 10 a.m. is 22259. 22259. Our preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no positions on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through our 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Joni C. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Joni C. And reading the 12 traditions this morning is Chris W. Chris, please.
Hi, Chris W., Chris with a K from Nashville. Here's the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, our loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. And thank you for letting me serve, Nancy.
Thank you, Chris W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. And in order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 84, the first full paragraph, starting with, are these extravagant promises, and reading that one paragraph. And reading for us today is Susan S.H. Will you please get us going?
Thank you. Thank you, Nancy. Good morning. This is Susan S.H. in St. Mary's, Ohio. I'm a compulsive overeater recovered for today. Grateful. What a great paragraph. Are these extravagant promises? We think not.
You think not.
They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Such a small paragraph, there's so much in it. Are these extravagant promises? I kind of thought so the first time I read them. Really? Really? I am glad to say that I don't think so anymore. I think they're possible for anyone who wants to continue working this program. They are being fulfilled among us. I've seen them myself. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, sometimes repeatedly. But they will materialize when I work for them. I can't make them happen. I can only work to get closer to my higher power, to find out how I can best serve my higher power and maintain my abstinence to the best of my ability, asking my higher power to be in control of that. Absolutely. I know that this is never going to be a one and done thing. When I think I have it, I may not have it. When I think I have it, things crop up that I need to look at, and I need to ask for help again. And there's no shame in asking my higher power for help again. He has never turned away from me when I honestly seek him. I trust that down to my toes, and I am so grateful for the directions in this book that have shown me the directions for my life, shown me how to navigate my life and whatever problems crop up. I can only do this with my higher power's help. And I'm so grateful to have the directions today. So that's all I have. I will pass there, and thanks.
Thank you, Susan S.H., for getting us started. And so you guys know the drill. We are going to take a list of people who want to share on this fantastic paragraph. But before we do, let me just remind everyone, we value everyone's opinion. We have over 300 people on this meeting. So if you've shared in the last 2 days, that would be Friday or Monday, please step back and let other people share the space. And who would like to share today?
Troy C.
Elena C.
Lisa N.
Elena C.
All right, I got Troy and Elena.
Bonnie B.
Lisa
Bonnie
N.
B. Lisa
Vasa
N.
O.
Vasa. All right, I have Roy, Elena, Bonnie B., Lisa N., Vasa O. I know I heard more.
Jessica G.
Jessica G. Anyone else want to jump on this? We got room for a lot more people.
Anna S.
Somebody S?
Anna S.
Anna?
Yes.
Okay, Anna S.
Patricia Ann.
Patricia Ann. All right, let's go with this lineup, and then we'll have another set in a bit. But I've got Roy C., Elena C., Bonnie B., Lisa N., Vasa O., Jessica G., Anna S., and Patricia Ann. So if you're not Roy, please press star one. And Roy, please tell us where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
Thanks, Nancy. This is actually Troy C. from Florida. There is a Roy C. from New Jersey. He's great, but I'm not him. So I'm pretty sure you're referring to me.
Sorry.
No problem. No problem. Yeah, Troy C., recovering compulsive overeater from Florida. Yeah, this is obviously a really powerful couple of paragraphs, and I've been hearing them in this program and in the beverage program for, you know, over 12 years. And I aspired to experience these. You know, they definitely kept me going for a long time, but only recently could I really say that I was actually experiencing them. And I think it was the last part. And in the beverage program, they were really hardcore, big book step study, but I got stuck doing a four step for forever, and I never really got into the amends process. And so I can only honestly say that I'm fully experiencing these promises now that I'm actually making amends. I'm, you know, searching back through my life and making restitution to the people that I've harmed and becoming more, you know, through that process. It's not an end in itself. My goal here isn't just to make nice with everybody. That's a nice side effect, but I'm trying to become more useful to my higher power and to the people around me. And it's through that work. It's through doing the scary thing and making the list in the first place, you know, and honestly thinking about how I harm these people. It's through this work that these promises have started coming true. And for a long time, I would think like, huh, is that promise coming true? Is this promise coming true? And now it's unequivocal. So that's really, you know, my major takeaway from these promises is this will happen if I do the work. And I do really think that it is specifically related to the work in the ninth step, which necessarily includes all the work that came before it. But I have to do this part of this work to be able to experience these promises. I was really afraid of that conclusion for a long time. And now I wholeheartedly embrace it because I'm actually working the amends with a sponsor in OA And it's really a gift. It's an incredible thing. So if you're out there, you're not doing amends yet, you're maybe not working with a sponsor, maybe not working the steps at all, and you really want these promises to come true, they can come true for you. They will come true for you if you work for them. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you, Troy, not to be confused with Roy C. from Florida. And next up, we have Elena C., followed by Bonnie B. Elena, please share with us.
Good morning again, Nancy. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina, originally from Romania. I echo the speaker, the reader, a powerful, a very short, but a very powerful paragraph. And, you know, I would have never thought before my exposure to a 12-step program that these things will be happening for me. And what I was struck by the last sentence, they will always materialize, always, if we work for them. So it's a promise and it's an absolute. And the way I need to look at it is one day at a time, one day at a time. Why? Because when I wake up in the morning, I need to get a little bit of God through prayer meditation, morning meditation, step 11, like the big book says. Throughout the day, step 10, because fear will cripple. You know, resentments will cripple at times more than others, but they will. And then, you know, at the end of the day, the review of the day with step 11. And then, you know, others through sponsorship, but not only. I can help other people. I can help everybody who I come into contact with. I'm in a mental health profession, and, you know, I'm exposed to helping people every day almost. I have a 15-year-old. I have a husband. So it's the walls of step 11, 12, 10, 11, 12, 10, 11, 12. For me, if I don't do these walls, these promises are not materializing that day for me. You know, they're just not. And step 1, 2, 3, it's another waltz of step 1, 2, 3 when I work this program. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And if something is persisting, maybe I need to go back to where is my standing in the relationship with the higher power, my understanding. Why am I not tapering into this energy, because I shied away from the light of the spirit, and I need to stay with the light of my amazing higher power one day at a time throughout the day, and I need to go to sleep with my higher power next to me, embracing me and hugging me and loving on me. And that is the way these promises will always materialize for me.
Thank you, reminder.
I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elena C. Next up, we have Bonnie B. And Bonnie will be followed by Lisa N. Bonnie, please tell us where you're calling from, and please take the floor.
Hey, thanks so much. Thanks, Nancy. Bonnie B., living in Florida, gratefully recovered today by the grace of God. You know, it's tough to know where to even start sometimes. For everyone that's out there that doesn't feel as though they're experiencing these promises yet, my heart says just keep coming back, because it says they will materialize. Immediately, I thought about the spiritual experience on page 567, where it says toward the bottom, quite often friends of the newcomer are aware of the differences long before he is himself. My journey has been, whoa, I can't see what I can't see. I couldn't see what I couldn't see. But this program continued to direct me back to God. And when the food was down and I was working the steps as best I could, and this is where I think the catch is sometimes, it's like I want the blue ribbon, and I didn't necessarily get the blue ribbon. What I got was the participation ribbon over and over and over and over. And as time went on, things were removed. But things that only God could remove. And I was able to see things that I could never see before. And the more I prayed, God, bless them, change me, the more he changed me. But it's a process. It's a process. And the only way that we don't get it is if we stop looking up and asking. Because this entire program for me has been about grace, living in grace, getting a glimpse of God, being able to see him in a way that I could not see him before. Now, it does require effort on my part. I do have to show up. I do have to give the best that I can give and trust him to pick up all the other pieces. But there's no shame, there's no guilt in not being where I wish I was. I lived in that closet for a while as I played the comparison game. This is my journey. And God's got me, and he is so delighted that I have showed up today. And I just want to encourage anyone else that maybe thinks, you know what, I'm not living in the promises. I want you to put the word yet behind that statement. Because, you know, the God that I serve is not a respecter of persons, and he wants all of us to live free. Why? So that we can be of service to him and others. All roads lead back to him. And so I just, I'm blessed beyond words today, and I'm so grateful that we have a program that directs us to go back to the only one that can set us free. And he's given us some really great tools and some great guidance. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Florida. Lisa N., you have the floor, followed by Vasa O. And Lisa, please tell us where you're calling from and begin your share.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. I'm Lisa N., and I'm from Wisconsin. And thank you, moderator, for your service this morning. The thing that stood out for me is the word extravagant. And the reason I think about these as described as extravagant promises, and we think that they're not extravagant, is because I think of them as being, when I think of something as extravagant, I think of it as being something really expensive and, you know, fragile and like crystal or whatever expensive item you can possibly think of that's beyond what you can afford. I can't afford these promises on my own. I don't have what it takes on my own. I don't have the money or the whatever it is that you would need to buy something extravagant, maybe. But these are promises, and they're given to me, and I can't afford them. But somebody with a lot of power and money and might gives them to me if I do what I'm supposed to in this program. And I feel like I've been given a true gift. And the only thing is, it's fragile. It is fragile to me in my mind. And I have to really do my part each day. My part means I have to keep my thoughts on higher power and doing my higher power's will. Because if I start thinking my own way, and if I pick up the food, my thoughts are definitely going to be skewed. And I'm no longer going to be able to help others. And I really believe that my working this program has changed the people around me. My family, they are different. They are, we had such chaos here when I was in the food years ago. I mean, chaos in my home, and nobody was happy. And I was always trying to lead the show, and I really was afraid and not very useful to people. So now that I have this fragile, this extravagant promise, this, well, it's not extravagant, right? But it's fragile. And it's, I've got to take good care of it each day. I've got to stay out of that food. If you're new to the program, put it down today. You don't need it. It's a lie. I mean, yeah, we need food to eat, of course, but we don't need the amount that we were eating. I know I don't. Anyway, that's all I've got. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you, Lisa N. from Wisconsin. And next up, we have Vasa O., and she'll be followed by Jessica G. Vasa, where are you calling
from? Thank you.
Vasa?
Good morning, Nancy. Thank you for your service. And I am Vasa, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. And this is really, I love the promises. And I never thought they would ever come true to me when I came at the beginning of my program, or it was possible to reach to them. And that's what kept me coming. You know, I wanted those promises. And I'm just so grateful. The first promise for me was to become abstinent. There was something that I tried to do for 25 years of my life to get it and to lose the weight. And, you know, up and down, here and there, I could never stick with it. I could never put it down. And finally, this was my last stop, coming to Overeaters Anonymous. There was no scales. There was no food plans right there. Yeah, we had a pamphlet that we could take and just see if I could identify, or I could be a compulsive overeater. And I took every question and I said yes, yes, yes on every one of them. It was 100%. And yes, I did step 1, 2, and 3. It was the gift of desperation that I had, because I remember saying, God, higher power, whoever you are there, I surrender. I cannot do this by myself. It's not like other people I didn't get the diets from doctors and everybody else's diets, Weight Watchers or whatever. I had all those, but I could never stick with it because I had the disease of the body, the allergy of the body and the mental obsession, which I had no clue about it. I didn't know food addiction was a disease. I didn't know it was eating disorder. I didn't even know food addiction was food addiction. I just loved to eat. So, yes, the first promise for me came, I could put the food down. It was by the grace of God and the help of people that were achieving how to do it. And then, you know, I needed to go to step 4, 5, gradually to, you know, with everything in my life. I could trust God now. He was giving me power, the strength to be abstinent one meal at a time. I mean, that was a miracle that I could do it for one day. Other people, I heard they did it for a week, 2 months, a month. And I, oh my, how is that possible? Well, yes, it's possible. And it has been possible for maybe all those years to be abstinent and then to work the rest of the steps the way they're laid out, with the help of my sponsor, my higher power. That's my time. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa O. And next up, we have Jessica G, and she'll be followed by Anna S. Jessica, please tell us where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
Hi, this is Jessica G from Georgia. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, you know, this is obviously a paragraph that stuck out to me and to a lot of people. But you know, the promises I think have come true for me in terms of you know, not being angry anymore. You know, so of course, you know, surrender is what they emphasize in step 3, and just being able to surrender all the shoulds and, you know, my battles for what I think is right in every situation. It means, you know, stepping back and, you know, and definitely the process was like a catalyst, but, you know, working steps 10, 11, and 12, And I can honestly say, you know, going to my nightly review, almost all of the time now, resentment is not something I check in as yes, which is sort of my miracle. And that was something that I did before. I held on to resentment like a champ. But now I find myself far more able to have compassion, you know, for anyone that I'm feeling, you know, irritated with, and able to surrender my anger, utilize a resentment prayer. you know, when I do feel irritated, utilizing the pause, but the program really has helped remove a lot of that from me, and I'm grateful for that. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jessica G. from Georgia. And next up, we have Anna S., followed by Patricia Ann. And Anna, before you get started, let me just remind people where we are. We are on page 84 of the Big Book, the first full paragraph with, starting with, "Are these extravagant promises?" and reading that one paragraph. So after the next two shares, we'll be taking another lineup. So if you want to share on that topic, get ready. And Anna S., please tell us where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
Thank you very much. This is Anna S. from Wisconsin, and I am so grateful to be here. "Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They will always materialize if we work for them." Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, this paragraph I know, because for the last year and a half, every aspect of the program I've been through has had, you know, that built into the meeting structure or whatever it is, and it will always materialize if we work for them. You know, gosh, it took me a long time to get here this morning. I think it was my second or third sponsor, like a year and a half ago, who told me to check out the Vision for You, and she said, "Oh, you have to listen to Harlan G. because that's how you're going to get sober, blah, blah, blah." And it took me a year and a half to get here, you know, to introduce myself to you lovely folks. I've been through more than 12 sponsors at this point, but I think the turning point was I found a sponsor who is not my same gender, who is very clear and is able to extrapolate. I have a lot of health issues because of my weight, because of my sugar addiction. I have a lot of health issues. You know, and they've been able to extrapolate without being afraid of my condition, what my dietitian and neurologist and everybody said, plus what the food plan needs to be. And they've been able to say it in a way that's structured and clear. And because I've been able to finally get that covered, and I know exactly what that is, and there's no wiggle room, like down to what I add to my water. You know, down to what I add to my water. If I'm going to add cucumbers to my water, I ask my sponsor, I ask my group of people, is that okay? And it's just like, that is opening up all this hard drive space for me to be able to be here talking to you this morning. So grateful, because it will always materialize if you work for it. My goodness, you know, and it's just, it's a process, and more is unveiled when you work the program. It's just kind of like this beautiful onion that unfolds, you know, as you work it. Like, you come in and you're like, you hear people talking God, and I grew up in Science of Mind, and, you know, and I became Jewish, and, you know, and my sponsor is actually of a faith that actually I have a lot of trauma around, and I'm actually looking forward to working with them even more now, because, you know, that's great. That's great. And that's definitely a pain point in my life that I need to get over, you know, because you need to get over. It's just words. It's just words. It's words. And God is God. Higher power is higher power. And, you know, and the steps will materialize if you work for it. So I'm just grateful to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anna S. from Wisconsin. And next up, we have Patricia Ann. Patricia, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from North Carolina. It's Patricia Ann D., and I'm calling from North Carolina. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, you have the floor.
I'm sorry. Yes, I am coming back with, I feel like, with my tail between my legs. And because I didn't want to hear anymore. I just didn't want to hear anymore. It was... I broke my abstinence right before Christmas, and I haven't been able to get it back. And it's been, I don't know how much weight I've gained. You know, I was down a size. I got back into the size I just got down from, and then I barely can wear those. And it's like, no. But I came outside this morning, and it's like, you know, listening to the extravagant promises. And, you know, I belong to other programs, and the extravagant promises, I know work if I work it, and that's the work, you know, work, 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 they say at the end of some of the meetings, you know. But I stopped working, and I let the disease take over, and I just know that I need it. I need to keep coming back, and I just feel ashamed. I know it's a disease, you know, but it was either drink or eat, you know. It was either, and it was like, well, don't drink, you know. My AA sponsor's like, don't drink, and then she's like, have an ice cream sundae, and then it was like right, you know, Christmas time. Right, I went to a meeting, and it was like the Christmas party meeting, and it's like, heck with it, you know. And I haven't stopped since. And I know I have to. I know that this is something that is not a game. This is going to kill me. And because I've been battling with this since forever. But I came into this program in 2011. And I kept an accident and breaking my accident. Someone's unmuted with a car just going by. you know, breaking my abstinence, going back, getting another sponsor, doing this, doing that. And then I get sponsors, and they know that I've gone through the steps already, and they know I've gone through the big book. So they don't bring me through the big book, and it's like, well, what the heck, you know? It's like, obviously, I missed something if I keep going back out, you know? And I can believe, I'm believing the lie when I'm in the disease. When I'm in pain and in struggling, I believe the lies. And anyways, my time is just about up. Thanks for letting me share. Bye.
Hey, Patricia Ann D. from North Carolina. Thank you so much for being here today, and thank you for your honest share, and keep coming back. You are in the right place. And we're ready to take another list of names of people who want to share on this paragraph. Who would like to share?
Judith A. Ken W. A.
I heard Judith
A.
And I heard Ken W. H. And I heard Kim A.
Sigrid F.
Sigrid.
Donna Royce. M.
Donna M. And let's hold off there if we can. Last time I had way too many people for the second round. So let's, I've got Judith, Ken, Kim, Sigrid, and Donna. And then if we've got time, we'll take a couple more. But Judith, please share with us. Tell us where you're calling from.
Which page and paragraph?
We're on page 84, the first full paragraph. Are these extravagant promises? And if you're not Judith R., please press star
Judith.
1 to mute.
Judith R., gracefully recovered in Vermont. Thank you, Nancy. I just want to do a 20-second share to say that this, I hope, is the only time I disagree with Bill on and the whole fellowship. These are extravagant promises. These are wildly extravagant promises, and they're coming true because we have a higher power who has a crush on us that is irrevocable and everlasting, and I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Judith R. from Vermont. Next up, Ken W.H. from, I think, North Carolina. But Ken, confirm that, and you have the floor.
Thank you. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. Yeah, they are extravagant promises. That's why I'm amazed. going into these promises, it says we will be amazed before we're halfway through. Well, what does that mean? It's just an expression. Before we are halfway through, what, 8%, 32%, 46%? No, that's not the point. The point is we'll be amazed. And I have been amazed at what has happened in the process of following the instructions laid out in the big book. That's called the 12 steps. That's how I got to this place of being amazed. I did what was recommended, and it took a long time in some cases for me to do that. I've heard at meetings too, at the end of some meetings, work, work, work. And I recall that this is just from my experience, that kind of snuck into meetings about 25 years, maybe 30 years ago, out of the treatment center process. It came from folks in treatment centers, and they brought it into the meetings, and people would say that if we work for them, work, work, work. Well, listen, this is just for me. If I could have worked my way into the place that I am today, I would have done it a long, long time ago. The fact is I understand these promises as extravagant grace. They come from God, and they come from having let go. So if I was to say anything at the end of our, they will always materialize if we work for them. Right after that, I would say, as a friend in the program says so often, surrender, surrender, surrender. That's the way they'll come true. I understand all of these promises to be resolved, the result of the, they are outcomes that happen as a result of surrender, 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 follow instructions, do something that you don't want to do, Ken, because someone else has done it and it worked for them. That's kind of the way I look at all of these things. If I focus on work, 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 that means I can do it. I can do it. It's up to me. I need to surrender and let my higher power work in me, work on me, change me. And sometimes and often.
Gentle reminder.
Often humble me. And so that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you, Ken W.H. Next up, we have Kim A. from New York. Kim A., you have the floor.
Hi, thanks. This is Kim A. from New York City. So, yeah, surrender is so completely important because I'm powerless over this addiction, right? But we also read over and over that faith without works is dead. So I think the work they're referring to is the work of the steps, which encompasses surrender, right? I mean, we know that we can't do it. We've been playing director in the game of life, and the play of life, and it actually, it hasn't worked for us, clearly. So we can't do it without surrendering, but, I could sit around and pray and surrender all day, but if I'm not taking the actions required by the steps, I'm also not getting anywhere, and I know that from experience. You know, there's a reason that these steps come after, that these promises come after step 9, right? Because these promises seem extravagant, but they're really not. They're the result of learning the truth about my thinking, right? In steps 4 and 5, asking my higher power, surrendering to take these character defects, my selfishness that are behind all of the lies in my head, because the lies in my head are what I eat over. I'm not eating over because of sugar. I'm not eating because of flour. I'm not eating because of anything I'm eating or not eating, because it's my mind that makes me take that first bite. And it makes me take that first bite based on the lies in my head, right? That I'm a victim, that, I'm nursing all these resentments because of all these things people do to me, that I'm living in anxiety because I'm trying to run the show and I'm being self-reliant and it's clearly not working. So all of those times that I was struggling to follow a food plan and that I couldn't do it, right? Almost 20 years of chronic relapse, because I didn't understand that when I was using my willpower to put that food down, I was putting down the one thing that was bringing me any sort of comfort, right? So all of those feelings would build up and build up and build up because there was nothing to soothe me anymore, because my thoughts were driving me to take that first bite. So eventually I would. So once we get to our first amends, and we can then go on to live in 10, 11, and 12 while we do the process of the rest amends, which can take years, that's when these promises, which seemed extravagant, are starting to come true, because we're sort of like at the other side where we're really starting to see the truth in our thinking, that our resentments are because of us. Our anxiety is because of us. everything is because of us. And
gentle reminder.
You know, thank you. I'll wrap up. And so as long as I'm asking my higher power to remove these attitudes and perceptions that are flawed that make me eat, I'm powerless over them. So it's this coming together of the spirituality and the surrendering, but also working these steps every single day. This is Kim A. from New York City. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim A. And next up, we have Sigrid, followed by Donna. Sigrid, can you give us the initial of your last name and where you're calling from, please?
Sure. Good morning, everybody. Sigrid S. Recovered in South Florida. Yeah, the word extravagant also comes out to me, and what I would equate it to is miraculous. As I was working through my steps, I could see some of these things. When I first read the these promises, I didn't even know what they meant. I was like, what do you mean that I have self-pity? And then come to realize, oh my gosh, I'm so full of self-pity. But I didn't know. I didn't get it. And then to see baffling, oh my gosh, that one, things that will baffle us. I remember when I was working the steps, all of a sudden things started happening at work that I used to have no idea how to handle, but all of a sudden I did understand. And it was, there was some, with working the steps, with surrendering my defects, with asking God for help, all of a sudden I was no longer binded and biased by the thinking that had held me prisoner for 50 years of my life. So, you know, things like intuitively, my mother told me not to believe in my intuition when I was young. Seriously, I was told that. This taught me to relearn it, to trust that intuition, to trust that inner voice. And so all of the words in these promises are miracles to me, miracles that I could never have done, never have figured out on my own, never would have come true without the steps, without surrender, without intentionally learning about not only my defects, but my assets and balance in my life and trying to find balance. And that's really the goal. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Sigrid F. from Florida. Next up, we have Donna M., and then we'll probably be able to take one or two more. Donna M., please tell us where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
My name is Donna M. May I be heard?
You can.
I'm from near Toronto, Ontario, Canada. You know, in the past, before I was recovered, I'd be in the hood. I'm totally unaware of my thoughts and the feelings that were driving me. But today, I am so grateful that the promise of God doing for me is coming true. And I know that most times when I'm disturbed, I turn to God and it's lifted. Or I see my destructive patterns and I recognize my self-will and I turn to God and it's lifted. But yesterday I had an example where I just had this deep sadness, which I haven't felt in years. And I had done a step 10 earlier in the morning, and those thoughts were not playing in my mind. And I didn't know what was the cause of this sadness. And I did a two-way prayer, and I haven't done that in a long time. And the message that I got from God is that I might not be able to figure out the cause, but that God is going to be there to guide and support me. And, you know, later on, I realized that the sadness was lifted. And so it says they will always materialize if we work for them. And so that is the spiritual work that I have, and I'm grateful. I have to do today, and I'm grateful for the willingness to do it, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna M. And so we do have time for two more people to share, maybe 2.5 minute shares. Who would like to share today?
That'll be
Chris.
Right, I heard Pedro and I heard a Chris. Was there a Chris?
Chris G in Tennessee.
Chris G. All right. All right, Pedro, please, got 2 minutes. Take the floor.
Good morning, Nancy. Can that be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Pedro V. I live in San Bernardino, California. I was born in Bayamo, Oriente, Cuba. That this is Traveling Promises. You know, ever since I heard the promises, I was like, oh, wow, that's beautiful. I like those. They gave me hope. Oh, wow, a new freedom and a new happiness. Not to regret the past. No, which is, wow, that's beautiful. I want them. But my problem with my disease is that it's just like you say, if you work for them. I don't like working very much. You know, I am lazy. Sloth is one of my biggest character defects. I want the promises without working. Uh-oh. Sounds insane. Yes, it is. It is insanity. If you knew, keep coming back. It's possible to stay after me. You know, is this our primary purpose is to stay sober and help all our cause. In here, you know, our primary purpose is to stay recovered and help another compulsive overeater. And, you know, I've been thinking about, rarely have we seen a person fail who thoroughly follow our path, and that's my problem. I need to follow those people that are recovered. Now, I want to follow my own will, and that's the problem, right? My way didn't work. I'm recovered for today. I'm not cured. I'm recovered for today. I can lose my recovery at any moment. Like my problem is to stay. That's my problem. How can I stay abstinent? How can I stay working on my recovery? How can I, you know, keep following? Because this is spiritual power of action. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a great day. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Pedro. Appreciate you. And our last share today will be Chris G. from Tennessee. Chris, you have the floor. Please share with us.
Thank you, Nancy, and thank you, everybody, for sharing at this meeting and service. My name is Chris. I am a compulsive overeater. And I'm surprised nobody said what I was going to say. I thought about it before the meeting started, and I didn't hear anybody say exactly what I was going to say. So, you know, our experience can benefit others, and we have different experiences. I was thinking about the person who has just, like, never been to 100 meetings where they said this, and just was reading this paragraph for the first time and not familiar with it, you know, and there's probably a person out there that's not familiar with it and hasn't heard it at hundreds of meetings. And so I was thinking about that person and how strange it would be if I were that person. And I think had a lot to do with starting the meeting and keeping the meeting going, that we will see how our experience can benefit others. So what is it that we have to work for? How do we work for them? And I thought, well, the one thing was meditation and prayer. That's how we work for the promises, is through meditation and prayer. And then and the next one was participate, that we have to participate in the meeting, that we have to share our experience with others. Everybody can't sit there and not talk. That doesn't make a meeting of any kind. You have to participate in the meeting. You have to join the circle. And then the service, of course, is like, well, like having a home group. We used to say, this is my home group. And I mean, a home group was where you were doing work. You were being the treasurer. You were leading meetings. This is the home group. So I don't know how you could say Vision is my home group, but I guess you could if you wanted to. So there's different ways to work for them, and they're all individual, and we're all different, and we have different ways of working for them. And some people have more need. Some people have more fear of people. Some people have more fear of economic insecurity. Some people, you know, that we have more need for the promises than others. And thank God we're not all the same. And so it ends with God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves, which I go back to forever. This is God's grace. God is doing for us. I can't take any credit for what God
is doing. Gentle reminder.
And that's, I'll pass with, I cannot take any credit for what God is doing. Thank you a lot.
Thank you, Chris G. from Tennessee. And thank you to everyone who shared today. And thank you for Team Tuesday for an amazing meeting and everyone behind the scenes who makes this meeting possible. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing of this first hour. And the share ID for today's meeting that we're closing now, Tuesday, the 18th of March, is 22,262. That's 22262. So we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Rena L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
This is Rena L., compulsive overeater from Toledo, Ohio. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.